Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8, and I am hot. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verses 5 through 10. And I want to, we're continuing about talking about the Holy Spirit. By the way, pray for Ellen Moore. She had her orthoscopic knee surgery today. She's doing fine, and she's loopy on drugs, but she's loopy without drugs. So she's just a different kind of loopy right now. And I won't tell you some... It's Ellen, all right? It's just Ellen. But it was... I got to be with her for a moment before she went back to surgery. And all right, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. You follow along silently. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now watch this. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Tonight, I want to talk to you about how to be spiritually minded. How to be spiritually minded. Now, listen to this very carefully. Most people who think they're spiritually minded or say that they are spiritually minded are just weird. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Somebody that thinks they're Holy Joe, they're kind of a little bit nutso. You know, they put their family Bible in their shirt pocket and say, look at me, I'm spiritual. They're just a little off. They have that spooky, magical Christianity. They have this, they walk around talking softly. You know, the Hollywood version of Jesus. they're just kind of a little different. They're the ones, oh, I'm just so blessed, and everything's just so blessed. Well, praise the Lord, Jesus didn't talk like that. To be spiritually minded doesn't mean you have to be weird. All right? We must realize that our fleshly or our natural mind is sinful. Folks, every one of us are sinners.
Yes, sir.
That means our mind is sinful. We were conceived in sin, therefore, every part of our mind has sin at its center. If you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, the devil got Adam and Eve to use their mind against God and said, you could be like God, you could be your own God. You could determine good and evil for yourself. Your mind is good enough to be God, is what the devil told him. That is exactly what man did. And since every man has done the same thing, because we're all sinners. Because we're sinners, our natural mind goes against God. Look at verse number 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, but because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, it is diametrically opposed to God. It is total opposite of what God is. God is love. Our mind is not love. Look what Hollywood puts out. Death, hate, evil, darkness, war. Should I go on? Everything about it is dark and evil. Look what man does to himself. We fight, we kill, We loot, we rob, we do negative things to one another. Why? Because the natural mind, the fleshly mind, is at enmity with God. Once you get saved, God saves your soul. He saves you for eternity, but you still have an old brain in there. Some have older brains than others. Some were wondering if there anything is on the cat skin. I'll look to this side. Now, can I please let me say this? This means our natural mind does not let God's word rule. Look at verse number 7 again. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. That word subject is a very interesting word. It means subservient. It means you recognize the word of God as rule and as law, and you'll obey it. We are to be subject to the government of the United States of America. We're to obey the laws, the speeding laws. I'm teasing. We're to obey the tax laws. That means you're supposed to pay your taxes. We should obey the immigration laws. We should obey the voting laws. We should obey every set of laws that we have on the books. Everybody understand that? In other words, when you do, you become subject. That's what's wrong with illegal immigration. You have people coming here who are not subject to our laws, but they are profiting from us. They're getting Social Security. They're getting free Medicare. They're getting free medical. They're getting all the benefits, and sometimes more than people who are legal citizens here. But they have not become subject to the laws of the United States of America. That's the problem. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against people being proud of their heritage, but we ought to fly the American flag and throw all the others away. I hate to say it. California shouldn't have schools that are bilingual where you have to teach Spanish and English. And I've been to the schools out there and seen the schools out there where they have the Mexican flag flying with the American flag on the school flagpoles. Now, I hate to tell you something. It's no wonder they can't get California under control, because even the government is not subject to the government. So, our sinful mind is not subject to the law of God. When we are in our sinful state, when we're in our law state, and even as a Christian, if we're not using a spiritual mind, we're not subject to the laws of God. Now, this means to be spiritually minded, we have to get our minds into subjection to God's word. Folks, that's God's law. Right there it is. Those are the laws of God. And we are to be in subjection to it. You've heard me say often, if I ever get up and say the King James Bible is not the word of God, kick me out or go to another church. Period. If I ever get up and say and preach something contrary doctrinally to that book, not your opinion, but doctrinally, we're supposed to separate over that. Not just because you think that the 10 toes on the beast in the book of Daniel, toe number 7 meant this to you and it means this to me. It means it had 10 toes, all right? I don't give a flip what you think the toes on the beast or the horns on the beast mean and everything else. That's not doctrine. Now, this means we must willfully submit to God's word in order to think spiritually. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 4. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How do we get that mind in us? I'll show you. First of all, you get saved and the Holy Spirit indwells you. Second of all, you think according to that book and become subject to it like Jesus was in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can think with the mind of Christ. It's that simple. So to be spiritually minded, let me say it this way. The Holy Spirit cannot work outside the confines of the Word of God. when people say, "Oh, I have a new vision. I have a word of knowledge. You're supposed to give me all your paycheck next week." And that's not what the Bible says. That's not within the confines of that book. That's somebody conning you. "Well, I just believe the Holy Spirit wants you to give up drinking coffee and give all that money to the missionaries." Well, God bless you. You can, but I'm still drinking coffee. I'm not against drinking coffee. And I'm not, by the way, I'm for giving money to missionaries too, through the church. But I don't think we ought to put everybody under such conviction that they quit drinking coffee over it. Now, if that's what it takes for you to give to missions, okay, that's fine, but I'm not going to get up and preach that kind of mess. I've heard preachers get up and say, "Well, bless God, the Holy Spirit's told me somebody in this room ought to give this much." Holy Spirit didn't tell you nothing like that, dude. Jesus lived, yielded to the Holy Spirit, and allowed the Holy Spirit to control his mind. And according to Philippians 2:4, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." In other words, we can have the same Holy Spirit leading our minds that led the mind of Jesus Christ in any given circumstance. We can have the same Holy Spirit control our minds that controlled Jesus' mind. Now, I know my critics will say, "You should not let anything control your mind but you. Welcome to the world." That's mind control. That proves that it's a cult. Okay, may I say this? I'd rather the Holy Spirit control my mind than the stinking devil. I'd rather the Word of God control my mind than the sin, nasty, wicked, filthy, vile flesh. Yes, sir. You're going to let something control your mind. You don't have control of it by yourself. I choose, as best I can, to follow what God said. Well, that's just mind control. Well, I'd rather have God's Word control my mind than Hollywood. We either let sinful flesh control it, or we let the Spirit control it. There's no middle ground. Now, gotta hurry. God will not force his way on anybody. I start there by saying that very carefully here. Strength never imposes itself on weakness. Did you know it's not the big things that clamor for your time? It's the little things. Let's bring it down to where we live. The teenager doesn't beg and borrow for your time. It doesn't clamor for your time. The infant does. It's the little things that clamor for the time of strength. It's not the big things that you purchase that eat up your finances. It's all the little stuff. Track your finances for 30 days and find out how much money you spend on stuff that is worthless. How many trips to Sheets? How many trips to this place? How many extra donuts you bought? How many extra cheeseburgers and double cheeseburgers and quadruple cheeseburgers you bought, and et cetera, et cetera. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's not the big things that get you. It's all of the little stuff. It's not just the food that you bought, but it's the three snacks that you bought between each meal. Now, strength never clamors for attention. Weakness clamors for attention. Because God will not force his way. Did you know God never one time forced his way on anybody? There's not one person in this room God came down, grabbed you by the head, knocked your head into the altar and said, "You have to get saved." God doesn't work that way. He will not force his way on anybody. That means this: we have to subject ourselves to him. He won't force us to do it. In other words, if you want to think with a spiritual mind, you're going to have to do it on your own. He's not going to make you. Tonight, by the way, the battle then is to whom we subject our minds to, either our flesh or to the Spirit. Now, this is mainly, listen to this very carefully, for big decisions. But if you learn how to do it for big decisions and you start doing it enough, it will eventually creep into everyday decisions. This formula will work for everyday decisions. But I'll use more illustration for big things because generally those are a little bit more intense. It will work for all decisions. But you've got to learn the process first, number one. First, we must seek God and His will and lose our own will. If you want to think with the mind of the Spirit, you have to, I know what it meant when I was a kid. You got to have no skin in the game. Y'all know what that means? You can't have any will to it at all. You can't make a spiritual decision if you have your sinful will involved. Okay, this is going to get a little hard. That means this. You have to quit looking at what you desire and let God have what He desires. I have sat beside hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of families as loved ones are sick. Loved ones may be passing. And I've had family members, we're ready for them to go to heaven, Brother Bush. We're ready for them to go to heaven, preacher. Okay. I've got others, I'm not ready and I'm not giving up. And if God takes this one, I'm going to be mad at God. I mean, good grief. I've had people say they've had tragedies happen. Well, God's not fair. You've got your desires in the way. That's your pride. You have to quit looking at your desires to think spiritually. You have to quit looking at, this is a hard one, your timing. Yeah, this one's preaching right at me right now. I wanted to be in that building 6 months ago. I wanted to be in that building a year ago. It's killing me. But I have to die to my timing. I have to be willing to say, okay, God, it's up to you. This is what I think, but doesn't matter what I think. I got to think with the mind of the Spirit. That means, okay, all you type A people, you have to quit looking for what you want result-wise. Too many of us talk to God based on what results we want. God, this is what I want, when I want it, and how I want it. It's got to be this way, or it's not you. Oh. So, in other words, you are telling God what His will is for you. Let me show you what I mean. When I was a kid, my dad would say, take out the trash. I don't remember what night of the week it was. It must have been, I think, Tuesday night, Thursday night. I don't remember. One of those nights. But what would I have done had I said, well, Dad, I'll take it out, but I'm going to take it out on this day at this time, and I want to make sure that these things, and it doesn't smell like this, so you make sure it doesn't smell bad. You make sure there's no maggots or flies in it. You make sure there's no stinky trash in it, and then I'll take it out. Guess what? I'd have been in the trash can. I would have been the brush cleaning it out. I'd have been the bush cleaning it out. Amen? You say, well, preacher, that's how most of you tell God about what His will is for your life. When you pray, God, I want this. This is what I want. This is how I want it. And this is the way it's got to be, or else. Look out. It's a coming. You must totally lose your will to ask Him for His. if you want to think spiritually, you have to, for some of you, this is not hard. You have to lose your mind to get his mind. You have to lose your will to get his will. Sorry, that was not written down, but it was funny. Too many people special order God. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And when he doesn't deliver what you want, when you want it, how you wanted it, then you get mad at God, or you pout because God didn't perform like the genie in the bottle that you wanted him to be. And can I tell you something? You're not God.
Yes, sir.
Neither am I. And you all ought to be really glad. We must completely die to what we want to make a decision in the Spirit. 6.5 years ago, I really didn't have much desire to pastor. I was content being an assistant pastor. Through a series of events, God said, you need to pastor. I talked to my wife about it. She said, oh, I'm not ready to be a pastor's wife. I said, well, you pray about it. When the Lord wants you to, you'll let me know. I was preaching in a different state one weekend. My wife called me. I was getting offered a job to a church that I was preaching in. And the pastor looked at me and said, here's your salary that I was getting ready to offer you, but you need to go start a church. I said, no. I said, my wife's not. He said, you need to go start a church. I got back to my hotel room. My wife called me and said, preacher didn't preach on this today, but I went forward and I prayed and I said, Lord, if that's what you want, then I'm ready. Let's go ahead and start a church. 7 days later, we had Grace Baptist Church. It wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't when I wanted. Say, when did you want it? When somebody else pastored it. I had to lose my will to it. I had to be willing to say, not my will, but yours. Okay, God. I remember stopping on my way back, and I was in Pennsylvania at the time, and I stopped at that wonderful place called Cabela's. And I had just spent time driving from where I was to get there, and I was talking to someone about getting an EIN number to start the church so that we could get a bank account set up so that we could, and finding out what all I had to do to get all that while I was driving. And I thought, I got to stop and get some bullets. Say, why? Because you always got to stop and get bullets, you know? And I remember getting out of my vehicle. I walked into the doors, and I didn't quite get to the doors yet. I was out in the sidewalk area there, and it hit me. You're about to be a pastor of a church. And I literally walked over to the wall, and I got on my knees beside the wall, and I just started weeping. I said, I can't believe that. That night that my wife had called me, I said, well, what do you think about a name? She said, well, I have a name. I said, I do too. I said, I've written it down. And she said, well, I wrote one down too. Guess what both the names were that were written down? Grace Baptist Church. It was kind of, okay, here we go. Onward and forward. It wasn't my will. God knows, I was happy doing what I was doing. My favorite word in English language was preacher. I'm starting to hate that word from time to time when people say preacher. I know what that word means now, coming back at you. We must completely, Brother Harry, could you shut that so I don't bother them out there? We must completely die to what we want in order to think with the Spirit. Number two, I've got to hurry. We need massive doses of the Bible to find His will. You will need to consume yourself in the Word of God. Psalm 119, 105. Let me read it to you. I can quote it to you, but I am going to read it to you so that you know that I'm not misquoting it. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Say, well, I don't know what His will is. God says His word is a light and a lamp to show you the way to His will. He gave you His will. There it is. You need the light to show you the path. Everybody doing okay? 99% of the will of God is found in the Word of God. Too many people focus on 1%. I was talking to a college guy recently. Well, how do I know when I'm where I'm supposed to go to start a church? I said, give yourself X amount of time. You pray about it, and you pick a place and pray about it. And if God changes it, He'll let you know. I said, but on this date, pick the date on the calendar, decide, and on that date, unless God has showed you something different, you go there. I said, if you go to a place, start a church, see people saved, see people baptized, see people's lives changed, and watch God build a church in that area, I think He'll forgive you for building it in this city instead of that city, as long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. I'd rather be doing the right what in the wrong place than doing the wrong thing in the right place. God's will is not a mystery. He wrote it down for us. He gave us the Word of God. Folks, the will of God is not a mystery. John 14:6. 14:26. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 14. This ought to be a verse many of you memorize. John chapter 14, verse 26. Now watch this. But the Comforter, capital C, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now watch this. He shall teach you how many things? All things. Watch this. And shall bring how many things? All things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now watch this. Did you know the Holy Spirit's there to teach you the Bible? And He's also there to give you the ability to recall what He's taught you. In other words, if you keep yourself in the Bible, the Holy Spirit has something to work with, A, to teach you, and B, to draw from. If you give somebody a blank computer, you have no wherewithal to retrieve any information. It can only retrieve the information that you put on it. Period. If you start a computer program, let's say you put QuickBooks in to run your personal finances. If you never enter any data into it, there's nothing to recall. Some of you have computer programs to do your checkbook, but you never enter anything into it and wonder why you bounce checks every month. The stupid program doesn't work. Did you put all the information in at the right times? See, it can only pull out what you put in. Used to be an old term. I'm old enough to remember it. Garbage in, garbage out. Information in, information out. You can't pull out what's not there. And the Holy Spirit cannot draw and bring to, notice this, remembrance. The word remember means to have memory again. To think about again. Oh, there's times I'll be going to talk to somebody and I can't remember something. I say, oh, God, help me. Boom. It's there. I have quoted so many verses that I didn't know I knew, but I put them in. And when I need them, phew, out they come. Say, what is that? The Holy Spirit bringing to remembrance that which I put in. If I did not put them in, God could not draw them back out. That's good. So you need mass doses of the Word of God. He can teach it to you. He can bring it to your memory. Number three, you'll need to spend time begging Him to help you make right decisions. You need to beg Him. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. God wants to be with you. God made you to be with you. Sometimes He puts a need in your life so He can spend time with you. Use this as extra time with God. You know, just because you have a problem doesn't mean God's mean. Sometimes He just wants to spend some time with you. There are times when my children would struggle in school. And I would offer to help, or my wife would offer to help. And they'd say, no, no, no. And I would let them continue to struggle till they got to the point where they were willing to listen. Then I got to spend more time with them. I wasn't going to force it. Let them fail if they want to. They'll listen one of these days. But when they finally did bring themselves in subjection, I was able to help them. Don't hold God hostage to do it or else. Spend time asking him, what does he want? I don't go to God and say, God, this is what you got to do, and this is the way it's got to be done, this is when it's got to be done. I just say, God, what do you want? Let me say it this way. Most messes in life come because God is not allowed, or God's not asked what he wants. I've watched churches split. I've watched people make bad decisions. I've watched people mess their lives up. And some of you say, why did God allow that to happen? And I always say, God wasn't allowed to get what he wanted. Man got his own will involved, not God's will involved. Everybody doing okay? Yep. It's not God's fault that people are fussing. That's our fault. Everybody doing okay? Psalm 106, verse number 15, the Bible says, God gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. There are times God will give you what you ask for, but what you ask for really isn't what you thought you wanted. Did y'all ever get that thing that you really wanted real bad? And once you had it, you realized you really didn't want it real bad and shouldn't have got it? That car? That certain kitchen appliance? That this or that that? You wanted it so bad. And once you got it, it was like, why in the world did I want that? That was not worth what I just went through to get that. God will not force his way. He may even give you what you want, but you're going to find out what you want isn't what you wanted. Sometimes you'll force God into giving you what you want, and he'll do it. But he'll send leanness to your soul. Everybody doing okay? I've not pushed God on our project. But I can tell you this. Before we started, I said, God, I'll talk to every worker I can about getting saved and getting in church. We've had 3 or 4 folks get saved. I don't know how many families are going to come visit our church over it. I mean, people that have worked on our property. We may end up getting 6 families in our church that built that building. Glory to God. That's more important to me. As I told 2 men today, it's just a tool. I told them, I said, if you got to put all kinds of spooky things on the walls and put stained glass in, I said that, Mung. I said, if you have to invoke God by what you decorate with, where's the Holy Spirit? One guy says, now that's some good logic. Never thought about it that way. I said, my church gets together and we just enjoy seeing what God can do. We get to see God do the work. I said, and if you saw where we're at, it's not real fancy. I said, this place is the Taj Mahal compared to what we have. Huh. So, you'll need to spend time begging him. Spend time asking God what he wants. Don't tell him what you want. Ask him for what he wants. Number 4, once you have surrendered your will, saturated yourself in the Bible, spent time pleading with him for what he wants, then, this was for bigger things, you set a time by which you need to make that decision. You set a time by which you're going to make that decision. Let me show you what I mean. My wife and I, almost 1.5 years ago, we were contemplating selling our house and buying another one. Kids were gone, get rid of the split 4-year, get a ranch. And we just kind of toyed with it. And I had been so winning and all over. I know this county like the back of my hand. I really do. There's not many places I have not been, even on the little holler roads and everything else. And we had been looking a little bit and kind of knew what our house would go for, kind of knew what price range we were looking in. And I kept driving by the subdivision I live in now. It said, new houses. I thought, there ain't no way. One Saturday after soul winning, I was driving by and the Holy Spirit says, I've brought you by this place a dozen times. How come you won't stop? And I kept driving. And I went a couple miles down the road and turned around and drove back. I said, it doesn't cost me anything. Find out what's really in there. So I walked in. Talked to them for a few minutes. They gave me all kinds of paperwork. And I thought, that pretty well, it's a little bit more than I wanted, but I think we could make that happen. I got back in my truck and I thought, I got to go home and face my wife with this. So I went home and we talked and ate lunch. And I said, let's have a little bit more of a serious talk. And I started to tell her what I did. She said, oh, we can't build a house. I said, well, I opened up the paperwork. She said, you got paperwork? I said, I just want you to see it. So we looked at it. She said, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I said, that's exactly what I said. I said, I know I'm nuts, but let's just go look at it. If you like it, we'll look into it more. If you don't like it, we got all the time in the world. So we drove over there. She walked in, she went, I'm home. I thought, oh boy. I remember that day well. She said, there's no way we could do this. I said, I think there is. I said, let's pray about it. Let's work on it. I said, let's work on getting our house sold first. And then we'll kind of, so we started working on it and getting it ready. And then we started talking to the place about, and then it got down to about December, and I said, look, you're going to save yourself a whole bunch of money. We'll pay you extra. I saved about 15 grand if I'd sign. I said, all right. I got barely enough to put down to sign with. I said, but I haven't sold mine yet. It's okay. We'll put a contingency on it. That stupid house didn't sell for another 7 months. They kept extending and extending and extending and extending, and I kept thinking, there ain't no way this thing's going to all fall through. It kept going, it kept going, it kept going. Guess where I live? But we had set a time at which time we were going to make a decision. We set a certain amount of weeks we were going to pray about it and think about it and research it, and then we were going to make a decision and either go or find something else. And we did it. By the way, didn't look back. My wife and I were driving home the other day and turned in. I said, don't you just love turning into here? She said, every time I turn into that opening there, she said, I thank God for our house. And I do too. I don't ever want to get over it. You see, now that you've done everything, you put a date on the calendar and say, okay, that's the date we're making a decision. Now, make the decision. The deadline is there to finalize the decision, not force you into a decision. Too many people vacillate with decisions. Oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. I want to do that. Back and forth. You're like a squirrel in a yard full of oak trees. You know, you have no idea which acorn to get next. And then number five. So after you set the date, number five, this is it, last step. After all this, in faith, make the decision. In faith, make the decision. Okay, God, here we go. I'm jumping. I remember what it felt like when the realtor called and said, your house is sold. I looked at my wife and said, uh-oh, it's really going to happen. Now what? Going to be a long haul here. After all this, by faith, you make the decision. By the way, circumstances don't change your decision. Resistance should not change your decision. Negative happenings shouldn't change your decision. Too many people, well, I'm going to do this as long as everything goes just right. You're not going to do anything in life. Nothing ever goes just right. But by the way, that's what Psalm 37, verse number 4 is all about. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Thinking in the Spirit means you've yielded your mind to God, you've lost your will, you've begged him for what he wants, you've made a decision by faith, and now he'll give you the desires of your heart because you're getting his desires. Notice it says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. He said, I'll give you the right desires. He didn't say, I'll give you what you want. He said, I'll give you the ability to desire the right things. And that is thinking in the Spirit. It's not, well, I want a brand new Mustang, this color, with these wheels, with all these options, and God, that's the desire of my heart. No. You do the above recipe, and then get what God wants you. And don't flip it in the ditch. and don't hit four deer with it. John chapter 15, look at John chapter 15 real quick. I have 1 minute. John chapter 15, look at verse number 7. John chapter 15, verse number 7. The Bible says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Huh. That's the same recipe I just gave you. That is thinking in the Spirit. That is, you abide in Christ, you spend time with him, you beg him, you yield your will to what he wants. His word abides in you, and the Holy Spirit then, you say, okay, I'll make a decision because I believe, God, you want this in my life. I'll do this. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will because you're asking what he will, and it shall be done unto you. I was sitting in a staff meeting one day with Brother Hiles, and I asked him a question, and he said, well, Craig, I'm old. I'm set in my ways. He said, I would advise you do it this way. I said, that's not what I asked, preacher. He looked at me and shook his head. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm not asking what you think I should do. I'm asking what would you do. He said, oh, I'm too old and set in my ways. I wouldn't ask you to do it the way I would do it. I would say to you, do it this way. I said, that's not what I'm asking. I said, what would you do? For the third time, I said, I already know you're old and set in your ways, but what would you do? I couldn't believe I said that to him. He said, well, and began to tell me how he would do it. He said, but I wouldn't ask you to do it that way. I said, I didn't ask you which way I was going to do it. I asked you which way you would do it. Guess which way I did it? Did it the way he would do it. Say why? Worked for him, why wouldn't it work for me? I didn't care if he was old and set in his ways. I've seen what some of the new people did and didn't like it. They're not set. I know the way he did it worked. Why try something else? That's exactly the way it ought to be with God. You ought to be in an argument with God. God, what do you want? Not what I want, what do you want? Did you see how we started the service about a driveway issue? I said, just pray about it. If the Lord wants us to have it, great. If not, no problem. We'll get it someday. Not a need. It's a desire. If the Lord wants us to have it, he'll give it to us. It's that simple. I'm not worried about it. I am not worried about it in the least bit. I just happen to believe. I was out there today and I said, Lord, sure would be nice, but if it's not what you want, I got to get that paid for. If you pay for this, we'll pay for that. But if you don't want it, I can get up here. Holes can get real big before my truck can't make it. I said, it's just whatever you want, Lord. That's how I prayed. We'll get what he wants then. And he'll tell us what he wants. And that's how you get the mind of the Spirit in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. The key is you have to be saved. The key is you have to yield your sinful mind and sinful will to his will. And that's what it's all about. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that something I needed, would you raise your hand? Oh my, many, many, many hands. Thank you. You can put them down.